Well, in 1 Peter, the first chapter, and verses 15 and 16, Paul, or Peter, kind of advances an important idea when we talk about personal godliness and being immovable and being firm. He says, like as he who has called you is holy, be ye yourselves also holy in all manner of living, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Personal godliness doesn't arise in a vacuum. It's not something that we describe. It's not something that we decide. It is decided by, in essence, the character of God. There are a lot of people that want to be holy, that want to be godly, but the problem is they haven't started in the right place. They've started by thinking, what can I do to be a godly person? And that's not where you start. Where you start is by knowing God. Now let's look at this for a minute. And went too far there. We'll first start by trying to understand some things about God, and then we're going to see how understanding those things about God, understanding his character, describes our godliness. It's not the other way around. It has to begin with God. So let's begin in Genesis 1 at verse 27. We'll learn something about God. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God is creator. In Acts, the 17th chapter, the Apostle Paul is in Athens. He's on Mars Hill. He's addressing a group that tended to be philosophers and thinkers. And this is what he said in Acts 17 at verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein, he being Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is he served by men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. And he has made of one nation of men, and has made every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed seasons and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek God, and if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he is not far from every one of us. God is creator. God does not need man. We do not give to God that which God lacks. God is creator. He is eternal. Now, what does that mean about the way that I relate to God? We've defined godliness as being always focused on God, always pointed in the direction of God. Well, the psalmist says this, reflecting on the fact that God is creator, he says, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before Jehovah, our maker. God is creator, and we reasonably give him worship. We give him our devotion because he is creator. Not because of anything that he does for us, We give him our devotion, our worship, because he is creator. Isaiah 64, Isaiah says that knowing that God is creator means, O Jehovah, we say, thou art our Father. We are the clay. Thou art our potter, and we are all the work of thy hand. God determines who we are. God is the one who directs what we become. I'm not a potter. I don't understand how all of that works. I have a feeling if I took a lump of clay and put it on the middle of a potter's wheel, started the thing spinning, it would probably throw the lump of clay off. That's because I'm not creator. I don't know how that works. God is the potter. The clay does not say to the potter, make me this way. The clay does not say to the potter, I want to be this. I want to be a beautiful vase. The potter says, I need you to be a bowl. And so, godliness, based on understanding who the potter is, means a lot in our lives. Peter said this in 1 Peter 4 at verse 19. Let them also that suffer according to the will of God commit their souls in well-doing to a faithful creator. It is not mine to question why I suffer. That's a hard lesson for me to learn. It is not mine to question why that's the case. But I commit my soul to God as the creator, as the potter, and trust that he will do what is appropriate for me. And we'll talk a little bit more about suffering and how that plays out in our lives tonight. Well, another thing we can say about God is that he does not respect persons. Who you are is not going to make a judgment, a difference in judgment. We all individually stand before God. You know, we just went through the Supreme Court debating whether or not there would be preferential admission at Harvard and at the University of North Carolina. And somebody said, when it was all done, wait, they have legacy admissions. If you apply to Harvard and your parent went to Harvard, you have a leg up. That's not God. That's not the way he works. You don't get to have a leg up just because your parent graduated from there. And I say that as one whose daughter was able to attend Western Kentucky and pay in-state tuition, even though we lived in Alaska, because her grandmother graduated from the University of graduated from Western Kentucky University. I know about legacy admission. I know about how that impacts what we pay. But look at what's said about God. Deuteronomy 10 at verse 17. Jehovah your God is a God of gods. He is the Lord of lords, the great God, the mighty, the terrible, who regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. And that word there should be probably translated bribe. God is not a respecter of persons. Every man stands equal before God. Peter opened his mouth and began to speak at the household of Cornelius in Acts, the 10th chapter. And at verse 34, he says, he opened his mouth. He said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable to him. God does not respect persons. Colossians 3 at verse 25. Whatever you do, work heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men, knowing that from the Lord you shall receive the recompense of the inheritance. You serve the Lord Christ. He that doeth wrong shall receive again for the wrong that he doeth. There is no respect of persons. Does it bother me that I live in a world where that's not true? Where some people seem to have a leg up on everybody else, and some people seem to get away with the worst kinds of behavior? Not if you understand God. And if you're trying to be a godly person, you can't do that. Godliness that's based on that understanding has to impact your life. 1 Peter 1 at verse 17, if you call on him as Father, who without respect of persons judges according to each man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. If that's the God that really is, then I can't be anything other than a person who does not respect people, a person who is not racist. James said, you can't have the faith of Christ with respect to persons. Then he talked about the illustration. He said, if a man comes into your assembly and he's all shabbily dressed and he smells bad, and you say to him, sit here under my feet. Another man comes in with beautiful clothes and you say, take the best place over here. You can't do that. Godliness will not allow it. But it's because godliness points us at God, and God doesn't do that. God is jealous for us. Exodus, the 20th chapter. At verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself unto those gods, nor serve them. Talking about the gods on the other side of the Jordan, on the other side of the Red Sea. He says, I, Jehovah thy God, am a jealous God. I visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the third, fourth generation of them that hate me. I will not brook those who want me and something else. God is a jealous God. Godliness that's based on that kind of an understanding means, as Exodus the 34th chapter, verse 14 says, thou shalt worship no other God. For Jehovah, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. If he is that way, I can't divide myself. And there are a lot of people that would like to be godly and be friends of the world. Do Jesus says, you can't do that. Matthew 6 at verse 24, Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That cannot be found in a godly person. I cannot serve God, and with a part of my heart, serve the God of this world. We'll continue this. A lot more to be said about it. But let's make the point at this juncture that our godliness is determined by the God that we serve. Let's not water him down. Let's accept him. If you're here this morning and that's the God you want to serve, if you want to be a godly person, put on Jesus in baptism. Put to death the old man. Rise to be a new creature in Christ. We'll help you to do that. We can baptize you this morning. If you're one of his and you slipped back into this thinking that I can be godly and we want you to return to a real understanding of God. Pray. He will forgive. And if we can pray with you, we want you to let us know that we can do that. James says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And because of that, he says, confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. But we want you to think about that. We're going to stand in just a minute. We're going to sing a song together. It's an opportunity to think about it. But please, don't think that the only time that you can respond to this marvelous call from God to be godly is now. At any time, should you decide you want to put on Jesus in baptism, you let somebody know and we'll help you right then. But we want you to think about it.